Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's Midday Magazine for Tuesday, the 21st of June, 2016. I'm Joe Vicnicki with the local news. Petersburg's Borough Assembly yesterday took a step toward prohibiting local pot smoking rooms for future retail marijuana businesses in town. The borough has been moving forward with a change to the local anti-smoking law that would have made an exception for pot smoking rooms at a licensed marijuana business. However, the Assembly agreed to drop that language, seeing no need for on-site consumption. They also decided against increasing the town's current 5-foot smoking buffer outside of businesses. Here's more in this report. The Assembly this spring put on hold its work on a new ordinance regulating marijuana businesses because of the need to update the local anti-smoking law already on the books. That's because the Assembly was looking into allowing on-site consumption for pot at a licensed business and wanted the smoking law to reflect that. However, public testimony on Monday was largely against any such allowance. Here's Barbara Fish.
I think it's a complete double standard to allow marijuana smoking and not allowing any other kind of smoking.
Others testifying complained of having to walk through smokers on the sidewalks in downtown Petersburg and the secondhand cigarette smoke there. The Petersburg Indian Association's Tobacco Prevention and Control Director, Katie Yeckley, asked for a number of changes to Petersburg's smoking law. She wanted smokers to keep a bigger minimum distance from the door of local businesses. She also wanted the Assembly to more clearly include vaping and e-cigarettes in the local prohibition on smoking in businesses. And she was also against the allowance for on-site pot consumption.
Smoking is smoking, and it shouldn't be. It doesn't matter if it's cigarette smoke or marijuana smoke, and it should not be allowed at any enclosed public places, including a marijuana retail facility.
Yeckley also asked to end the possibility for tobacco smoking rooms under the existing law, something that bars and other businesses could create currently with adequate ventilation. That was a possibility that another person testifying, Kevin Clark, wanted to highlight.
Basically, all this is doing is allowing marijuana businesses, if we get a retail store, to have smokers in-house. Bars currently could have cigarette smokers in the bar, but there is a set of regulations that they'd have to comply with in order to have cigarette smoking allowed. All this is doing is just adding that same thing to marijuana businesses. That's all it's doing.
Susan Burrell, the applicant for a state license for a retail pot store on Main Street, said she was not applying for a separate license to allow on-site consumption.
And I just want to let people know I have not applied to have, if I do get a retail marijuana store, I have not applied for people to be able to smoke in that marijuana retail facility.
In an interview with KFSK earlier this year, Burrell did talk about her hope for providing a walled-off smoking area in the alley behind her business if that was eventually permitted locally. Voters approved the local smoking law in 2010, and the proposed update was in its second of three readings before Petersburg's Assembly. Assemblymember Eric Castro wanted to take out the proposed allowance for on-site pot consumption.
Especially now, since we have a proprietor who has no intentions of ever, or at least in the near future, of seeking a marijuana smoking in her establishments. I'd like to kind of clear the waters of this contentious issue that we have in front of us, and it'd be nice to be able to parse the two apart. You know, one smoking in a retail establishment and then the other legalizing the commercial sale of marijuana in town.
An amendment to remove the on-site pot consumption allowance passed 5-1, with J. Stanton Greger the only no vote. Many of the other changes proposed by the PIA's Yeckley also were approved, but the Assembly did not go as far as removing the possibility for regulated and ventilated tobacco smoking rooms. And Assembly members, for the most part, were not interested in increasing the minimum distance from doorways. Here's Bob Lynn.
Some of their points, I think, are very valid, and unless we absolutely prohibit smoking publicly downtown, we can't solve some of those problems, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that coin is I get to thinking about those who are smokers. I am not, but is it right to chase them totally away or to take all what they consider their rights away?
Lynn wanted to keep the 5-foot minimum distance, and other Assembly members agreed, with only Cindy Lakadakis voting against that. The smoking law changes still have to go through a third reading next month, along with a third reading of the proposed new law to regulate pot businesses. That draft will have to be amended now as well to take out the allowance for on-site consumption and keep both the pot law and smoking law in agreement. And we'll have much more on the news from yesterday's assembly meeting coming up later this week on local news. U.S. Forest Service's new district ranger for Petersburg is in town. Since arriving this spring, he's been working to learn more about the region and the community and to develop solutions for the budget shortfalls facing that agency. Abby Collins has more on that story.
Dave Zimmerman may have relocated to Petersburg, but he says one of the issues facing this ranger district is something felt throughout the country.
Something we don't have too much control of, and that's our declining recreation budget. It's a decline nationwide.
Zimmerman says a hurting budget makes it difficult to actually get projects done and to hire the amount of people needed for that work.
So we're working through that. And that challenge to find ways to kind of think outside the box, get some partnerships going maybe on the private sector to help us work in our recreation program.
According to Zimmerman, there is a lot in the works as he heads into his first summer in the district.
We've got some fish surveys, goshawk surveys, stream monitoring. We've got a crew working with gathering vegetative and timber information.
And he says the trail and cabin maintenance crews are out working despite typically being understaffed due to budget constraints.
They keep the morale high and they do just a fantastic job keeping all our cabins, our trail systems up to speed.
Zimmerman arrived in Petersburg by ferry with his wife in March, marking his return to the Tongass. He previously worked for the Forest Service in Sitka and Juneau. Since his arrival, he says he's been spending time getting to know the community here.
So the main thing really is trying to get a list of people, civic and partnership organizations together and introduce myself to them. So I'm a member of Rotary. After this week, we made two trips out to Cake, trying to get to know the two communities that are in the district here, Petersburg, well, three, Krupanoff, and Cake. So trying to meet with those leadership teams, introduce myself.
He says he's been trying to learn more about the district in a role that has recently been vacant in Petersburg.
We didn't have a ranger here for a fairly long period of time, so there's been a somewhat lack of a maybe formal leadership here, but there's staff that took that ball and ran with it quite well and continued to make the district successful.
Zimmerman says he's looking forward to being back in a district, working with the people that actually get out there and do the work. In Petersburg, I'm Abby Collins.
Petersburg's 4th of July is not too far off, about a week and a half away from now, and I am joined in the studio today by Mara Litomsky, the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce Director, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up, what to look for, and things to keep in mind for Petersburg's 4th of July festivities. We'll be hearing from her and a couple other of the organizers over the next week or so here at KFSK during Midday Magazine. Welcome, Mara. And what should we be keeping in mind for Petersburg's 4th of July festivities coming up?
Thanks, Joe. So we are still in the kind of getting ready stage. We do have the schedule set. So festivity activities will be happening Saturday, July 2nd, Sunday, July 3rd, and Monday, July 4th. So you can mark those dates down on your calendar to be free so that you can attend all of the wonderful events that will be coming up. And of course, we will be having booths on up and down the downtown streets July 3rd and July 4th. So big thanks to Marilyn. She's been Marilyn at the Visitor Center, who has been kind of heading that up and taking those booth registrations. We're about halfway full. So if somebody out there is thinking about putting something together for a booth, whether it's informational or whether it's a fundraiser or whether it's a food booth, please come and see her so that you can mark your spot down.
Okay. I know you have to apply for those in person. And so the street will be blocked off 3rd and 4th for those during the day.
Yep.
Sunday and Monday, I think it is.
So a little later in the day on Sunday, of course, so that people can go to church if they wish. And then the festivities will happen, start happening right about noontime and then go into the early evening.
Okay. A whole bunch of people are helping out with the organizing this year, it sounds like, and there are going to be different events, people taking on different tasks. So it's going to look a little different than it has in the past, right?
Yeah. So our committee kind of expanded. I know that in the recent years, it's been kind of Parks and Rec's thing. And now it's become a little bit more community-ish. We have a couple of new sponsors that have taken on events. The Lighthouse Church, Nathan Lopez at the Lighthouse Church, they are going to be kind of running all of the Sunday events on July 3rd. And so there will be a lot of new ones that people will want to look for and plan into their schedule that they haven't seen in the past.
And hopefully we'll be hearing more from Nathan here a little bit later this week about some of those. And then Parks and Rec is involved as well, though, in some of the organizing, and Chamber of Commerce as well, right?
Oh, yes. Yep. Heidi at Parks and Rec is definitely still full steam ahead with her crew. And we kind of take on a little bit different roles. You know, she has a very active role during the actual festivities, running each of the events. And the Chamber of Commerce is kind of a little bit more behind the scenes, putting the people in place, finding the donations in order to run the events with prizes, especially the fireworks. We're currently right now finding sponsors and donors for that fireworks show. It is set to be July 4th at 11 p.m. at the ball fields this year. And thank you to the Dave Berg and the fire department for graciously putting on that show for us. But we do need to collect funds in order to put that show on.
And one of the ways you do that is through raffles, right?
Well, our raffles don't necessarily go directly to our fireworks fund, but our raffles do fund some of the other activities. So, you know, the parade, those are cash prizes, and the street games, those are cash prizes. So this year we are adding in a $100 cash raffle after the Mayfest cash raffle. We heard that a lot of people didn't get their chance to enter and win big in that raffle. So we are offering it again, and we will be giving away, it's a 50-50 raffle basically, so we will be giving away $5,000 in prizes all day on July 4th. So we'll be drawing five $100 prizes, five $200 prizes, five $300 prizes, a $500 prize, and then of course the big one, $1,500. And you can win multiple times.
So tickets are on sale for that already?
Tickets are on sale for that at Lee's, Rexall, the Visitor Center, and a few chamber board members.
Okay, and are those are on sale right up to the day of? Or
we will sell until the final drawing.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right. What else should people know about the fun coming up?
There are lots of ways that you can still be involved. The Chamber, of course, is looking for volunteers to man the booth. It's one of the most active booths during the 4th of July festivities because we are selling those $2 raffle tickets for the Alaska Airlines tickets and the cash, so you can take a big vacation. So we'll be selling those, and we need volunteers in order, you know, down there selling them and being right in the middle of the action.
So people should call you if they can help out?
Yep. They can call 772-3646 and leave a message, or you can email me as well.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. We'll hear more from you later this week about the 4th of July festivities. That's Mara Ludtomsky with the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce. More news coming up in just a moment. In other news, Wrangell's Borough Assembly approved harbor rate and fee increases this month, as well as some recommendations on where to allow marijuana businesses in that community. Aaron Bolton has some more on the decisions made by Wrangell's Borough Assembly recently.
Among the many key issues presented at Wrangell's latest assembly meeting, harbor rate increases were the most contentious. The new rate system replaces the current flat rate of $25 per foot with a tiered system that has larger boats paying more. Boat lengths will be put into three categories. Those up to 30 feet will pay $28 per foot. Boats 31 to 56 feet, which Harbor Master Greg Meisner says the majority of ships fall under, will bump up to $33 per foot. And boats 56 feet and up will pay $38 per foot. The ordinance will also raise fees 2% per year to keep up with inflation. Some assembly members feared increasing rates will push business away from Wrangell's ports and boatyard. Assembly member Julie Decker adamantly opposed raising fees at the Marine Service Center, which provides repair and haul-out services. However, Decker was in favor of increasing rates in Wrangell's harbors.
I would be more in favor of the 2% a year into the future and a smaller initial increase and doing away with the boat haul-out increase. That's my opinion.
Assemblymember David Powell promoted the increases and says keeping rates low does not bring more money into Wrangell's economy.
I've lived here 50 years and I have heard this 500 times that we're going to have people come if we lower our rates. Well, now we're sitting here with a harbor that we can't even rebuild because the rates were so low to do everything about replacing any part of it. It's fallen apart completely. It's not a maintainable harbor. If you go out and look at it.
Decker made a motion to throw out new fees for the Marine Service Center. That motion was voted down 4-3 before the Assembly passed the rate increases as proposed. Port Commission member John Martin says the new fees will go towards replacing dock systems, such as the one at Shoemaker Bay Harbor.
The biggest item I think that needs to be remembered, we have 6 dock systems. We want to start a savings account to help us replace that. 45 years from now, we will have half as much as we think we need for one of those systems. That means that all 6 of the ones we have now are 45 years older, and we can pay for one half or one.
The new rates will go into effect July 1st. The 2017 budget also provoked concern. Assembly members unanimously decided to table approving the spending plan. It scheduled a public workshop and a special meeting to approve the budget on June 27th. Previous workshops were heavily focused on borough employees' health insurance. Borough Manager Jeff J. Bush says the borough was able to reduce its insurance rate for the coming fiscal year by switching back to a previous health plan.
Initially, it was going to be a 38% increase, and then it ended up at we were happy to have a 20% increase, which is kind of bizarre.
The Assembly unanimously approved the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendations on where to allow marijuana businesses. Wrangell's zoning ordinances will be updated to accommodate the recommendations and put before the Assembly. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Aaron Bolton.
And for KFSK News, I'm Joe Pinkney.